This episode is brought to you by Technasia Explains, a TIA Originals video series that dives into everything that budding entrepreneurs need to know about starting up, with help from some leading personalities from within the industry. More on that in a bit, but first, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Deep Dive, a show where we discuss the biggest headlines to hit the startup scene with the journalists who broke the stories. My name's Nat, and today we're going to talk about India's over-the-top streaming platforms. I don't know about you, but I honestly can't remember the last time I watched cable TV. With Netflix, Amazon Prime, and a whole lot of other streaming services, I can choose what to watch when I want to watch it, instead of just turning the TV on and settling for what's showing. Heck, I can even watch shows on my commute to and from the office. Not that I go out of the house very often these days, but you get the point. And the ability to choose what to watch is part of the reason why over-the-top streaming platforms, or OTT, is such a huge hit in India.
There's so many platforms available. There are at least 40 platforms, all vying for the attention of anyone with an internet connection in India.
That's Nikita Puri, a Technasia journalist based out of India.
And all these platforms have a lot of content. A lot of it is also original, so it's fresh content, it's for different audiences. There's something for young children, there's something for parents, there's something for, working professionals, there are cooking shows. There's a lot of content to choose from. So that is the reason that people are so attracted to OTT platforms in general.
Just how big is OTT in India, you ask? A recent report found that the country is the fastest growing video streaming market, and that it's slated to become the world's sixth largest video streaming market by 2024. However, it didn't start out like that.
The most popular platforms today were not the first ones to break ground. Reliance Entertainment in 2008. They launched the first Indian OTT platform called BigFlix. And in 2010, another platform came up. And all these TV channel operators, they started launching their own OTT platforms. But what happened was there wasn't much of audience for it. And this was largely because of limited content. Whatever you saw on TV was the same thing that you could find on OTT. The originals were far and few. Back in 2008 and 2010, when it first started in India, the whole concept of OTT was very new. Entertainment was more of a family experience. You would sit down in front of a television and with everybody, and maybe the children would have like 2 hours to watch their cartoons, but otherwise it was a family viewing experience. You know, people watched films together or television together. And there was also, internet wasn't that, the proliferation was pretty low. Not everybody could afford the data required. You know, there wasn't popular data packs on mobile phones everywhere for people to access OTT in the first place.
That began to change when young professionals started to see the appeal.
You could watch your content on your phone or on your laptop. And that was a big draw for a lot of young professionals who sort of moved away from smaller towns to bigger cities where they could get speed, fast speed internet. Then they realized that essentially you don't need to invest in buying a television set to watch entertainment. You know, for entertainment, you don't need to buy a television set anymore. And that was a big draw for people, for young people, which is a majority of India's population now, you know, the under 35 group.
On top of that, foreign streaming platforms hit the market around 2015.
When all the foreign streaming platforms launched in India, they came in with affordable streaming plans, and these were priced at much lower than what they had in other countries. Anybody entering the Indian market is aware that India is a price-conscious market. So you need to have affordable pricing options, and then people will come to you. And once they start sampling the offerings, they realize that it's sort of a buffet, and it's an all-day buffet. you don't have to stick to a TV guide schedule for entertainment anymore, which was again a big draw for a population that had, that worked all day long and suddenly had a Sunday free. So you could also watch catch-up TV. So whatever you had missed during the week, whether it be your, favorite shows, soap operas or whatever, you could just sit on a Sunday and watch all of it together.
With that, the popularity of OTT platforms took flight for the first time in India.
So it's a very, very recent hike that people have started seeing, and which is why the competition has also grown in the recent years. Because suddenly people found that OTT was getting a lot of audience. And that was largely because suddenly people could afford internet, and they could afford internet on a variety of devices. It was internet on the go,
right.
People going to work in the metro trains or, on the buses, they could watch shows on their phones.
Right.
So even today, like, a lot of people will be watching shows while they're traveling to work.
Right.
That was one spike that OTT saw. The second OTT spike actually came during the lockdown.
Sure. So, like, people staying at home, limited outlets for entertainment, they turned to OTTs.
Yes.
Right.
So what happened was all soap operas sort of came to a halt because shooting had to be stopped.
Right.
So a lot of first-time users actually went to OTT platforms. And this essentially meant people in small towns who had not really used internet beyond, say, TikTok, or parents, elderly parents who suddenly found that they couldn't watch their regular shows anymore. So their kids forced them, sort of pushed them to try out one OTT platform or the other.
Right.
So what happened was a number of platforms that we spoke to for our story said that their subscriptions and viewerships had risen dramatically over the past few months. And what they would have achieved probably in the next 2 to 3 years was achieved in the span of a few months because of the lockdown.
Right.
And now that the television content is returning to normal, one would expect that OTT platforms will see fewer subscriptions, their viewership would go down. But that's not been happening at all. Subscriptions and viewerships may not be growing as fast as before, but they're definitely not falling.
Right. So that's very interesting. So it's still on this upward trajectory, ever since 2015, 2016,
yes.
Up until the recent pandemic, which exacerbated that growth. Now with TV going back to regular schedule, it's that growth is slowing, but it's not necessarily halting per se, right?
Yes, but it's not even slowing. It's more of it's staying consistent.
I see. Okay. So I want to contrast, I guess, the rise of OTT in India to, I guess, other regions, because you did reference some other OTT platforms in your article from other regions.
Right.
How actually does the OTT market in India compare to those in other countries like Singapore, I think Hong Kong? How do they stack up?
Okay. So I'll just broaden this answer a bit. So earlier this year, when Jeff Bezos was in India, he said Prime Video is doing well the world over, Japan, Germany, South America, all over. But his very specific words were, but there is nowhere that the streaming service is doing better than India.
Wow.
And because of that, they're doubling their investment in the kind of licensed content and original content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, linear channels like HBO and WB are ceasing operations in India by December. And the spokespeople have also said this is because with the proliferation of OTT, it just doesn't make sense for them to continue the TV channels. Now, what has happened is analysts have long been wondering if Indians spend way more time on OTT platforms than they do in other countries. And Netflix did a recent report, and that was pretty much confirmed what the analysts had been saying, that film viewing in India is the highest for any country in the world. At least 70% of Netflix's subscribers watch at least one movie every week.
Wow.
And Netflix is a premium channel.
Right.
it is not something that every Indian can afford at this stage.
Right.
So the platforms that are not paid obviously have much more viewership than what Netflix accounts for, because Netflix is a premium service.
Right. So it's actually it's a market where OTT is the hot market.
It is.
Where as in other countries it could be growing, but in India it's really blossoming.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So I know you reference like OTT platforms like Hook and Viu.
Yes.
They're kind of these strong worded, but they're kind of these failed stories of OTT platforms in other markets. Hmm. What I guess does their story say about the future of OTT in India?
So Hook's case was a separate case altogether.
Hmm.
I mean, it shut down operations everywhere. It wasn't just in India. And that was because, as Peter Bakers rightly said during the Tech in Asia conference, that content is extremely expensive.
Right.
And that is something that they figured out on the way, you know, and they were busy making plans on how to sort of change tracks and trajectory. But then the pandemic happened and the only thing left for them to do was to shut down.
Hmm.
But Viu withdrew just from the India market. And that is noteworthy because they didn't mince their words when they said there's absolutely too much competition and there was no clear path of monetization. How much can you keep pumping in if you know that there is no clear winner here? There is no way that you can perhaps emerge at the top. There's no way of keeping track of these things. So they just realized that at this point, it didn't make sense for them to keep pumping in money in the India market.
Right.
And that is exactly what we asked a lot of the OTT platforms also. You know, why are you here if there is so much competition?
Mm, right.
What they say is the Indian market is one where the viewer will come and go. You cannot expect the viewer to stay with you throughout. It will all depend on the kind of content you put in and on what the content is priced at. But pricing aside, if you put out a good show, they will come to you. When that show is over, they will go to another platform which has another good show, which has put out a fresh good show. So this is what happened with Netflix, actually.
Mm.
They launched the first India original called Sacred Games, and that got them a lot of viewers.
Right.
So it's about the kind of content that you put in. You know, content is king. That has been underlined over and over again.
Right, right. So it's kind of a low loyalty kind of market where you
Absolutely.
Constantly have to be winning over your users, your audience, as opposed to something where, you know, like you capture them for once and like that's a long customer lifetime value.
Right.
Okay. So I think from the story of Viu, what I'm taking away is that it's kind of, it's almost not worth it for a foreign player to enter the Indian OTT market. And it's something that, you know, the local players would thrive in. Is that true?
Not really. I mean, look at how well Netflix is doing,
right.
How well Prime Video is doing. And they sort of set the standards, frankly speaking.
Mm. Mm.
So when you look at the quality of content that they put out, people want the same kind of content from other platforms too. There's a demand for it. If you don't put out quality content, if it's not something that they want to see, they're just going to switch.
Mm.
It's frankly as simple as switching channels.
Right, right. But is it an endeavor that is worth it? Because like you mentioned, you know, for Hook, one of their prime concerns was that content is very expensive.
Right.
And it seems like the ones who are performing well in the market are those with the deepest pockets. Whereas those more regional players, as opposed to full-on international players, they might not have the funding or the capital backing to be able to, you know, play that content game.
Absolutely. So you do need deep pockets.
Mm.
But what is also helping a lot of OTT platforms is that they have a very big content library.
Mm.
So even if they're not putting out original content, they're finding other ways to get that content. For example, traditional TV channels have TV shows and films that haven't been watched in decades altogether.
Right.
So that is something you can access on those on their OTT platforms. And then Tencent-backed MX Player,
mm-hmm.
They recorded their highest monthly earnings for September. And they're even raising money. They witnessed a 7 times increase in the time that people were spending on the platform. And they do put out original content, but it's not just that. They're also sourcing content from all over the world. They're going to Latin American markets. They're going to Turkish markets. And they're dubbing that content and bringing it to India.
Right.
So what's happening is the content is suddenly more accessible. It's in your local regional languages. It's not just in your national languages. So people even in different states who do not speak English or Hindi can access that content and understand. They don't have to read subtitles. There's also the fact that, you know, shows from Turkey or Latin America have a cultural resonation in the ways that families operate, in the ways that rituals are conducted. There is an echo that they find in those shows. That is another reason why MX Player has been able to do so well, not just because of their original content, but also because they've been able to find the right kind of content from other markets.
We'll be right back. Hi, it's me, Nat, the same person who's narrating this episode. When I'm not working on our podcast, I sometimes lend my voice to our TIA Originals video series, like Technisha Explains, which debuted at the start of this month. If you've ever wondered about the various sources of startup funding, how to manage unit economics, what's the deal with startup valuation, or anything else to do with building a startup, Technisha Explains is the series for you. In a series of videos brought to life by our, might I say, incredible studios team, we dive into everything that budding entrepreneurs need to know about starting up, with the help of some leading personalities from within the industry. So go on over to techin.asia/explains and check out Technisha Explains. Now, back to the show. I think this is a good time to talk about these top players in the OTT industry. And what exactly sets them apart in terms of their, you know, their audience acquisition strategies, their content strategies, how exactly they're unique and how they manage to get to that top spot. So who are these top dogs, I guess?
So that would be Hotstar, Disney Plus, MX Player, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Sony Live, Voot, Z5, Alt Biology. These would be the biggest players. And the thing is, they all have very different strategies to capture the Indian market. And some of these overlap, like what MX Player is doing with international dubbed content. It's specifically going after international dubbed content. So this is all going to be very fresh content for India. Platforms like you know, Netflix or Prime Video are investing a lot on originals. Their stories are profoundly Indian stories, you know, stories seen in villages. So it's not just content for the metropolitan world. It's content for India's 2-tier and 3-tier cities. That's content that people will relate to more in the smaller segments of the Indian market.
Right.
Then there's also the pricing. I mean, Prime Video gives you like an annual thing, but Netflix, which is perhaps the most premium, it starts at around rupees 500 per month in Indian rupees. And now they are going only for mobile only plans.
Right.
So what's happening is essentially what you can do is if you have a Netflix account, at least a few of your friends share your account with you. But with their mobile only plan, which is a much cheaper plan, the intention is that only one person will use that account. It can only be supported on one device. So that is another way of getting audiences.
Right, right. So for these top players, I guess, how exactly are they doing? Like, have they reached the point of like profitability yet? Or are they still kind of burning a lot of cash on creating content, acquiring content to be able to capture the market?
So it's sort of hard to say because they don't quite talk about that. I mean, they are burning a lot of cash.
Right.
They've been very open about that. But it seems that they have the confidence of getting good returns, which is why they're still in the game and they're trying out new strategies.
Right. And what's ensuring them? What's kind of telling them that, you know, they can get returns at all? Because it seems like Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the video streaming game in general is one that is very high burn rate, very very high risk. So for these top players, what's actually telling them that, you know, they have a chance at turning that story around and kind of making money in this market?
Right. So it's all about the content that you put out. Mm-hmm. For example, Hotstar, you know, which is essentially a popular platform, they did exceptionally well over the span of last 2 months because they had IPL on. That's the Indian Premier League. You know, it's cricket.
Mm.
And cricket is a very, very popular game in India. And they had exclusive rights to screen the cricket matches.
Right.
So their viewership automatically went up.
Mm-hmm.
I think all these content providers are content in the fact that they're not going to have steady returns. Their viewership or subscription is not going to be steady. There's going to be a lot of fluctuation and they're comfortable with that. It'll be more of a seasonal thing. When it is IPL season, Hotstar's ratings will go up. Hotstar's viewership will go up.
Right. Right.
So it's going to be seasonal. It's about what content you're putting out. And people are comfortable with that.
Right. So it's going to be some months are great, some months not so great.
Yes.
But they're kind of sure that, you know, in the long run, it is it's an endeavor that's worth it.
Yes.
Right. Right. So, I mean, among these streaming platforms, you mentioned a few of the top names.
Hmm.
Are they, you know, because of the fluctuating needs, the fluctuating wants, the fluctuating viewing habits of their audience, what are they actually doing to stay ahead of the competition? Because it seems like, you know, 1 month you could be the top dog, but the next month you could be the lowest in the chain.
Right. So, like, for example, Netflix,
mm-hmm.
which refused to raise its subscription prices, which it did everywhere else, you know, is going to have 2-day streaming fest in December.
Mm.
And it's going to be completely free.
Okay.
So for a premium subscription service to offer a 2-day thing, 2-day watching service, it's a big deal. But how many movies or how many television shows can you watch in 48 hours?
Right.
There's only so much. I mean, you've got to eat, you've got to sleep. But the fact is, you get a taste of what they're offering.
Mm.
You sort of browse through things very quickly, or you make a short list of things that you want to see. But that you're not going to meet those things. You're not going to meet those deadlines in those 48 hours.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is ultimately you might sign up for another month.
Right.
It goes from there. It's a gamble.
Right, right. And is that a strategy that's unique to Netflix, or that's something, you know, in some shape or form that the other OTT platforms are adopting as well?
Nobody has done this.
Okay, so this is the first.
Nobody else has done this. This is the first for Netflix.
Right.
And Netflix has not done this anywhere else either.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot of experimentation also happening in the Indian market because nobody's really sure of which way to go.
Mm.
So it's all hit and trial.
Right, right.
It's like the perfect recipe for the cake doesn't quite exist. So everybody's trying it in different amounts, you know, different timings, different amount of baking powder or soda or whatever.
Right. So are there any other like unique strategies that you've seen kind of emerge from among the other players, or is this kind of the beginning?
It's sort of en route. A lot of people also have gone for the way the television went, the way that cable went, that is dependent on ads and not really subscriptions.
Right.
So even for MX Player, it's dependent on ads. That is a very common model.
Right.
And half of it is freemium, like you pay for some content and the other content is free.
Right, I see.
So there's no clear strategy.
Right, so it's kind of like cast a big net, you know, see which strategy work out.
Absolutely.
One phenomenon that's been happening recently is that of OTT platforms partnering up with other platforms to widen their reach.
Now what they're also doing is they've tied up with different e-commerce portals. Like, for example, there's Zomato and there's Flipkart, and they're all tying up with these guys. Okay, so if you open the Flipkart app or the Zomato app, you will find content from OTT platforms.
Mm.
So that is one way of also hooking the audiences.
Right, getting on platforms that they already frequent.
Yes, yes, e-commerce portals. Yes, yes.
Right.
So, and what e-commerce portals get out of this is people stay on the app for longer.
Mm.
And that's just one way this whole video streaming is heading out. Now they have reality television happening on these e-commerce platforms.
Mm.
And then these guys, these OTT platforms have also tied up with telecom operators. They've tied up with internet providers, just so that wherever they go, the OTT platforms follow. So suppose you buy a Vodafone network or, you know, a SIM card, a new SIM card, you will get 1 year validity. You know, you can use Amazon Prime Video for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of these different schemes that are on.
Right. So it seems like the trend is kind of, you know, it's echoing like the start of this OTT boom where people started adopting it when they realized that they could watch their shows wherever they were on their phones. And now OTT platforms are recognizing that that's their unique modifier and trying to get on platforms that people are already on to increase their kind of market reach.
Right, right. So what also happened was a lot of senior citizens weren't comfortable. They're not very good at adapting to the internet. Even smartphones were difficult to use in the beginning. But now they have sort of been trained. Now whether it's video calls or whatever, they're comfortable with it. Even using WhatsApp to play videos or going onto YouTube. All of that has given them the confidence to go onto these OTT platforms.
Right.
If someone signs up for them, all they have to do is log in and watch every day.
Right. And this is because the pandemic has kind of moved everybody online, regardless
Absolutely.
Of their age or their familiarity with technology.
Absolutely.
However, despite the boom of OTT platforms in India, one problem still deters them from reaching all corners of the country.
The one big problem that I see is high-speed internet. That's just about it.
Right.
I just spent last week, like I was telling you, I wasn't available because I spent last week in a small two-tier town. And I just didn't have internet.
Right.
And we had a huge TV and it was a new TV and everybody wanted to watch Netflix and Amazon Prime on it. But there was no internet. How do you watch OTT without internet?
Right.
And so everybody on their mobile phones had a 1GB or 2GB of data that they could access. But that is essentially mobile phone data.
Yeah.
When that translates into high quality TV, it doesn't quite last that long.
Right. But to me, that sounds less like a challenge and more like an opportunity, I
guess.
It is
an opportunity.
OTT platforms are waiting to tap into, right?
Yes.
Because once the infrastructure for internet kind of gets it together and provides that high-speed internet to tier 2, tier 3 cities, that means that OTT platforms are going to have such a much wider market reach and a much, much bigger audience to tap into as well.
Yes, absolutely. Which is why people are ready to stay on and they're just waiting for the internet to sort of properly kick off.
Okay. So yeah, I guess to kind of wrap up our conversation so far, I guess, what's in it for the future of India's OTT industry? What can we expect to happen in the next few months, few years, I guess? You know, because we're still right on the cusp of the pandemic, and we've just seen this kind of boom that they've experienced when everyone was staying home and consuming a lot more content. What in your opinion is going to happen in the near future? What do you expect to see?
So depending on what we're seeing now that things are getting back to normal, people have had a taste of this all-day buffet that OTT is.
Right.
And I don't see them stepping away from it. There's no reason to step away from it. If you can get all kinds of cuisine any time of the day, why would you step away from that platform?
Right.
And what's going to happen is there's going to be more content to choose from because that essentially decides whether your viewer goes or stays. And so there's going to be far more dubbing, far more original content coming in, and far more licensing also that we're going to see.
Right.
There's also going to be far more competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's not gonna, you know, the competition's not gonna get better anytime. It's only gonna go more fierce.
For Nikita's full article on India's OTT industry and other stories on the Asian tech and startup scene, visit techin.asia/sub and become a Tech in Asia subscriber. Either that or subscribe to this podcast, where we're running deep dives every month. But that's it for this episode, and I guess for the rest of the year. So, happy end of the year, happy new year. Special thanks again to Nikita Puri for joining me on this episode. Let me know what you thought of today's discussion, or what topics you want to see discussed on future episodes. email me at podcast@techinasia.com or just comment wherever you're listening from. I'd love to know what you think. Oh, and one last thing, we've finally launched the third season of Startup Snapshot, exclusive for all our paying subscribers. Just visit techin.asia/snapshot and you can catch all original stories of entrepreneurship, struggle, and hustle in audio form. Just in case you're on the fence about subscribing, I'll give you a little teaser of the first episode right now. It's a story I stumbled upon a few months ago on LinkedIn. I was just doing the endless social media scroll that we all do when there's work to be done but not enough motivation for it. You know what I'm talking about. And as I scrolled past what felt like the 100th post from a recruiter boasting about hiring someone who didn't look that good on paper, I saw a LinkedIn article headline that intrigued me. It read, "Why I Stopped My Startup During COVID-19. I clicked on it, read the whole article twice, and thought that this would be a story worth telling. So I reached out to the author and asked if she could tell me her story over a call. She did. From Techinasia, this is Startup Snapshot, a podcast that tells the stories of the key moments in the arduous journey of starting a business. My name's Nat, and this is the story of Joyce Kumala.
And I think it's gotta wait. Okay, there we go. So yeah, tell me about yourself. Let's just start with who you are, where you're calling in from, and what it is you do now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Joyce. I'm originally from Indonesia. I am in Jakarta right now.
I connected with Joyce over Google Meet sometime in mid-June. She had a bubbly personality to her and shared her story with a refreshing openness, a characteristic that I've noticed founders tend to lose when their startups scale. As coined by serial entrepreneur turned investor Rei Inamoto, there are three types of people in a startup: a hipster, a hacker, and a hustler. Joyce considers herself the hustler. Despite our call happening in the middle of a pandemic, Joyce was dialing in from what looked like a phone booth in a co-working space. A few minutes into our chat, she had to take a call.
Thanks. Bye.
Is everything okay?
Somebody sent me something. It's my birthday today, actually, and somebody sent me something.
Happy birthday. You should have mentioned something.
Can I just pick something downstairs real quick?
Trust the hustler to be in the office on her birthday.
Sorry
no
about that.
No problem. Actually, are you sure you want to do this now on your birthday, or would you like to...
No. This is fun.
Great.
And I'll leave it at that. Again, catch the full episode on techin.asia/snapshot. Till next time, my name's Nat. See you next year.